We'll have roll call.
Dennis Scott, here.
Karen Ward, here.
Kathy Agin, here. Ken Mullinox will be on the phone, and Steve Martinez is ill. And student counselor Sydney Bright is here.
Okay. So what you want to do is...
The pledge.
Yeah, we do the pledge, and then we'll do an added agenda item. Okay. We have to eat, and then we'll find the mayor in Mexico.
Don Greiner, would you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have an added agenda item is a basically a discussion about the a TGM grant request, and we'd like to have Kathy sign it tonight so we can get that in tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that then.
Okay. Okay, so we will move on to the discussion.
Let's get our mayor on the track. Let's try it.
Do you need that one for that?
You know,
not sure on that.
I don't know. It's his cell phone, but I don't know how it works when you're in Mexico. We'll see.
We'll give it a shot. Try it without.
Maybe he hasn't gotten there yet. He's on it. It's an annual big fishing trip he does with friends for the next couple weeks.
Where does he go?
If I didn't dial the wrong number.
For this marijuana thing, why don't you
make
enough coffee to have it? Here, let me do this too. Oh, no, these too many ordinances. That'll work, I think.
There's not an international prefix yet. So.
I don't know.
Well, when you go, your cell phone's working, his phone?
Is he there?
He said he set his plan up. He told me. Hello?
Try. Hello, Ken?
Somebody's there.
I think he's there.
Yeah. Ken? Yeah, well.
Hello? You're not...
I'm pushing volume up.
Oh, yeah. It's fading in or something.
Yeah.
We can't hear you, Ken.
Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Perfect.
Okay.
Too much.
Turn him down just a notch.
I'll turn him down a couple clicks.
There we go.
Well,
yeah, it depends on if you keep, you don't you change, you keep doing the same, whether you are, and then let us adjust it.
That'll work.
Okay. With Ken, just so that you know, Mr. Mayor, we did our roll call. We have three councilmen here because Stu is sick tonight, and our student council member is here, and we have some local citizens, 6 or 7, 8, 9. We have a couple, 3 folks that are interested in some medical marijuana, or I should say growing operations, medical, recreational marijuana business. That's the crowd.
Okay.
So you got a flavor for that. So
we are starting. You want to go to the
discussion?
Yeah, okay.
Who's our leader tonight?
Oh, Kathy is as a senior councilman. She called the meeting to order.
Very good.
And we have the flags, so we just did all that before you got here.
Very good. Thank you.
And she's got things well under control.
Yeah.
I know she does.
Okay, we're going to start the discussion with the recreational marijuana retail banning ordinance.
And I'm waiting for Ashley.
Ashley.
She's making copies. She's
right here.
Why don't you hand the count out? Okay. Okay. What we are doing tonight first, first, so everyone knows it's a work session, so we'll give direction to the council on topics and not vote, and so because we can go prepare the right documents and things, then we will ultimately, in the issue before us right now, which is the whether or not we want to refer any bans to the public for a vote in November, the legislature, that's just how we've talked about this many times, but mm-hmm. they set that up, and the council will have to pass an ordinance that places it on the ballot, and we have some options in that. And so that our attorney will draw the option down the path that you want to go. And that's what we're here to discuss tonight. And this little document that you have right here will kind of lay out, really it's fairly simple for what we are doing here tonight. House Bill 3400 contained a local option that allowed us to put it to a vote and then let the public vote. The council, because of the fact that in Deschutes County the vote was within the 45-55, in other words, there was more support here than, say, as you went east, possibly, the rules are set a little different. So the council will have to vote to do this or not. Mm-hmm. So the question before you, and what we need to know as staff, is what ordinance do we want to come back with? Under the rules, we can put the question out, and it can deal with, you go to item one, and if you go down, you'll see A, B, C, D. Ken, you don't have this, but verbally.
No, I do.
Oh, you
do. I do.
Oh, okay. We can ask the public, would they like to ban medical marijuana?
Medical.
Yes. Remember, these are the options. Okay. That's an option. Medical. This is from House Bill 3400. This is what you get to decide. We can ask the voters, do they want to ban medical marijuana, processing sites, medical marijuana dispensaries, recreational marijuana producers, recreational marijuana processors, recreational marijuana wholesalers, or recreational marijuana retailers. We can go up for a vote to ban all, one, or any combination of those. Now, we currently allow medical marijuana, but you could, if you wanted to ban that, or I shouldn't say ban, you could put up and ask the voters. Mm-hmm. Now, there's going to be several questions, of course, to the voters, and that would be quite a ballot. Depending on what you're doing, but so I think you've all had, again, we've worked on this for months and you've talked about all these things, and this is your chance to kind of like, what would you like to opt out of, if anything? The talk that we've talked about was, the biggest concern was recreational sales. Mm-hmm. And not worry about the other items. We have a medical grow operation in our industrial park now that's been there for a couple year and a half or better. We have several people that have talked about building recreational grow operations in our industrial park. We have had requests for people to do processing, where you would take marijuana and then you could convert it into things, and these would all be wholesale, where it'd be sold away. And of course, no doubt our medical dispensaries would like to sell recreational marijuana, and some would like to get in the recreational sales business. We don't know if the legislature is going to combine them. If you've been listening or reading, I have a strong feeling that probably, although you know the legislature well enough, that it's, you never know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So, but I think if you were to bet in Vegas, you'd probably say they're going to end up, probably going to combine them. So the medical dispensaries are going to be able to sell recreational. They may separate them inside and go through a different door or do some things. But they will probably, that's where we're going to head. So that's really, and what we want to know is where you want to head with it. Then we'll have Jeremy over the next month. Number one, we want to wait till the legislature convenes and closes so that we don't make a decision and then have to change that. So our plan is to come back in April, because they're going to finish up the middle of March, the 10th Easter somewhere. So that's a little tight. So we probably would come back in April based off of if the legislature does anything that's going to change things, and based off the direction you give us, you know, what do you want to ban? What do you want to ask the voters if they would like to ban? And remember, if we ban anything, if it was to pass, we then are not eligible for collecting of the tax. The state, and we're going to get to the tax question, but the state has a 17% tax. We are going to debate whether we want to put in a 3% tax, so for a total of 20. But regardless, whether we do our 3 or not, we are not eligible to collect any of the tax. If you, in your community, ban any one of those items, in other words, we get cigarette money, we get liquor money, it comes in shared revenues. Under these proposals, what they're kind of saying is, I think it's a little red hen theory a little bit, if you're not helping grow it and sell it, you don't get a share in the benefits. So that's, you know, just something to keep in mind that, you know, we would not be eligible. You don't have to put anything forward. You can put one thing forward, whatever you'd like.
It's so, multi-layered.
Yeah.
Very so, much so.
Why don't you guys, if you have any questions or start, give us some direction.
Okay. I'd like to know if we continue with the medical marijuana and the voters vote not to have the recreational, but if they have growing operations, the tax money wouldn't come because of the sales part of it.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
The way I understand it is if any one thing is banned, mm-hmm. you're not eligible for any of the tax.
Okay. And that would be divided by the population and the number of distributors and everything.
Well,
so
yeah.
It's not
There's a formula. You know, I don't know what we would be getting in. I don't know if you're risking $10,000 or I don't think that
it's not going to be
it's not a huge. No one knows. You know.
Okay. What?
Dennis. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I think it's premature to make any decisions until we see what the legislature's going to do.
Well, they're not going to change these categories.
They're going to change medical and recreational.
But that would just be whether you can house them together. If we ban recreational, medical could still sit here and sell.
But they're going to combine, most likely, combine the both of them.
But they're still two different issues. It just means you're going to be able to sell them out, the way I understand it. You're going to be able to sell them out of the same building. You're not going to get rid of... They're not getting rid of, I doubt that. They're not getting rid of medical. And if we have to change that, we'll change it. We still want direction so we can start working on it. Mm-hmm. That I don't see that happening. Medical marijuana is not going away. It's just simply, can they sell both in the same store? So.
I got a comment.
Ken?
Yes, thank you. My comment around that is of course, we've got medical marijuana. It's plain to me that if we ban any one of these, we're not going to collect any tax. And my feeling at 3% is not going to be very much anyway. But even if we ban the recreational marijuana in our town, that would override the recreational marijuana joining for being able to be part of a single store with medical marijuana.
Yeah, right. The store's going to be able to sell medical, they just can't sell recreational.
Yeah.
And if we were to ban medical and allowed recreational, they don't sell recreational. If we ban neither, they can sell both. That's So
they can't sell both.
If we didn't ban both.
Oh, right.
They're freestanding. Don't combine them. They're just combined in that you can sell them out of the same location. It's
right.
Kind of like you can buy beer and wine in the same store. So it's not... There's too much support for medical marijuana at this point in the legislature. Senator Brzezinski would have a heart attack if they tried to change this.
Yeah. Karen?
Well, I don't want to go backwards. Okay? We've had medical marijuana here for a year and a half. I have not encountered or seen any problem with that. I think the people convinced us that we needed that here so that they didn't have to go into Bend to buy it. And the roads have been horrendous this year. I was surprised that that was even a question, because I don't want to go backwards. We worked really hard to get to where we're at. Recreational marijuana, personally, I think the people are going to vote to have it here. I think they already voted to have it here. But I'm willing to go to the polls and ask them again if they've changed their minds. But I don't want to go backwards.
So if we talk about, can we decide whether we are going backwards, whether medical marijuana needs to be on the table right now, or that we leave that as is?
Well, why don't you tell us what you would like, if anything, would you like to ask voters whether or not they want to allow to be sold here? What I've heard from
Kathy
is the recreational sales. That's all I've heard from you.
Yeah, Ken.
I'd like to say that, you know, I go along with Karen that I don't see us having a need or really a position. I'm convinced that there's medical benefits from our medical marijuana rules as we've got them now, and I just don't think we should go backwards. We should let that stand and everything, and let's deal with just the recreational side of it.
That's what I was asking, if we can just move beyond the medical and go on, let the medical stand where it is and address the recreational.
I think we ought to let everything stand except for the sale of recreational. That's the only thing that's in dispute. So we should put that up for vote just to be sure that's what the public wants, and that's the only thing we should be voting on. To put up for vote.
Rick, I've got a question.
Oh, I hope I can answer.
I know you can. Listen, do we need to ban recreational marijuana at this time and still put it to the vote, or do we just say put it to the vote and they can't sell it till the vote?
Well, you've already you already opted out
of the early sales.
Of the early sales, you would have to.
Okay.
Yeah, you would have to un-opt out, and then put it. But I think at this point, that would be a little more problematic. I think since you already have done it.
So
the question is, it would be effective the November election. Everything stays like it is. Recreational sales are banned until the vote.
Well, that's my position.
And then if the people, I don't know if you vote yes or no, I'm not sure if it's a negative question, or, I mean, I'm not sure if it's a...
Yeah, the way they word it.
Yeah, I don't know which way you vote to
do that. And that's my position, that we wait and let the people vote in November, and the very fact that they did vote against it as a city, by a 3% plus margin, and if they want to change their vote, I'm totally on board to do that, and we would know that in November, and that's what I'd like to see.
that
and,
sounds
and
like
I'd have to agree with Ken that 100%. That's what I
say. I agree.
Okay. What we might want to do, Acting Mayor, is allow folks to make some comments on this that are here. Mm-hmm. So we're here to hear from them, and then that's way it's on the record, and then we'll take this all in advisement. We'll talk to staff if when you're all done listening to them, unless you change your mind, we'll have Jeremy. That's the direction, but still wait and see what the legislature does. And when we show up in April, we'll have a hearing, and
after the legislature,
closes, so we'll have a month in between.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any public comment? Okay. State your name and your address.
It's so informal. Okay. Here, Charlie.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Thank you. My name's Charlie Ringo. I live in Bend, and I have been investigating for quite a while, having a marijuana grow operation for recreational purposes. And I worked with the Deschutes County folks and met with Alan Unger. And then at the last minute, the Deschutes County Commission kind of went sideways. It's like, well, with a lot of uncertainty. And frankly, I think their indecision is your business opportunity. Because I think that even though there's a lot of questions about marijuana and it can be abused, and it's not 100% good, but I think it is going to be part of our society, like it or not. And you know, it's part of the free society is products like that. But I have been looking at some land in the Lapine Industrial Park, and to me, that's one thing that Lapine really has going for it is you've kind of identified an isolated place where people can run a business. And you don't have conflicts with their neighbors, which is one of the big problems I had in Deschutes County of people growing outside and, you know, conflicts with houses that were 100 feet over the fence line. And is what I would hope to do is have a grow operation that would be entirely fit the indoor category, so there wouldn't be any negative impacts on neighbors because there's just other industrial uses out there. And it would be, you know, hopefully hire people from the Lapine area. You know, I mean, not right off the start, things have to grow. But that's where I think it is an opportunity for the city of Lapine. Deschutes County is they're gonna legalize it. They don't want the voters to vote on it. But they're delaying 6 months, 8 months, 9 months. And so that's just my request to you is just when you talk about recreational marijuana, just keep in mind the difference between retail sales and the producing and the processing. But I think it's a win-win. It's a place where people can you know, produce it and contribute to the community in a law-abiding, responsible way. So anyway, thank you for your work on this issue.
Thank you. Any other public? Hi.
I guess,
can you?
Why don't you come up and sit right here, that way we can hear.
Can you hear?
Name and address.
Brad Stewart. Yeah. And I live at, what's my address over there? I got two addresses. 51343 Mitchell Road. Okay. I got a business address, so I also have a business here in Lapine. I wanted to let you guys know about the benefit. I said this before about if we are to, you know, get to do the growing there, obviously lots of good jobs come in for a lot of people. I mean, to be able to pull off an operation like this, it's going to take a team. It's not just, you know, one guy. The other thing, I wanted to, with respect to the recreational sales, just kind of say a little something about that, where I feel, you know, you mentioned the roads are horrible and we got people going to get medicine in Bend. There's people that use marijuana as it's like a day thing. They're functional, they're operational, you know, they do things, you know, normally. There's people out there that can do that. Not everybody, some people are irresponsible for it, you know, as Charlie said. And, you know, just, it's the same thing as alcohol, though. You can go to the store, you buy it, and you know, you don't have to go very far to get here in Lapine, and you know, they go home and that's where they're at, you know, and they're happy. But also, just to keep it simple, you know, like medicine, you know, and alcohol and pills and everything else, you know, people can overdo it. So, but just trying to defend that part of it, but thank you for working with us.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Go
ahead.
No, ladies are always rich.
Oh, okay, hi. Barbie Dunham with Think Again Parents of South County. And I think it would be just like anything that's coming in here. If we brought in a distillery, I would still be in favor of having safeguards for our kids. And that's my main concern, is you're going to talk about grows out in the open. You're going to have 10-foot fences. What are you going to do for that? Lock boxes, maybe, for people who want to have them. I think it's a good idea to look at some of these options to put as standards if you're going to have right. that kind of thing here. So lock boxes could be sold anywhere.
Well, just so you know, the CC requirements are stringent.
It has to be fenced, and there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I know. I've got friends in Colorado. They get broke into all the time. I'm just saying we need to have that in place before we legalize it. They have to have some standards here in our town.
Well, the OLCC. The application process through OLCC requires a multitude of things, but one of which would be an on-site inspection before the operation was
approved.
Yeah, I've
talked to Larry Brown, too, and he said that they still haven't got everything in place.
Oh, sure.
They will have. And Mary, who's on our board, is also on the board for the marijuana regulation group in Bend. And she says there's still so many things up in the air.
Sure.
We need to make sure that Lapine is at least safeguarding our kids. That's what my concern is. So if you're talking about having grows here, I think that we should put in place something, lock it up, talk it up, I don't know, something, but there needs to be some of those place guards just for us. I don't care about what Ben does or, you know, what 10 Buck 2 does. I'm more concerned about our kids in South County. So if they're going to be selling marijuana, we need to have some education for the parents and for the kids in place. So just something to think about.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Douglas Ward, 52657 Pine Drive in the city. Medical marijuana is here to stay, so you might as well just end your discussion with all this stuff. Recreational marijuana, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, the people who live here, the people who voted you guys into office, have the right to say we want it or we don't want it. So putting it on the ballot is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Whatever the people vote, you should do, because that's how democracy is supposed to work. So that's, I think that's about enough said.
Okay. What?
There's some static. There's a lot of static.
Can you mute your phone if you're not talking?
I know.
There was nothing you said. Noted.
No one out.
Any other public comment?
Okay.
I got one.
Gary.
More of a inquiry, not taking a position.
Can I get your name?
I'm Gary Gordon. I'm Lapine. On Lowell Way. The way the measure is presented in the document, first off, it's incredibly, wonderfully complicated, and thank you for the effort. Someone at least needs to recognize that it took a lot of effort to try to deal with this. My question basically deals with the income, because that's an important part, the 3%. As I understand it, the council's kind of opted out at this point.
Now that's our next discussion, is that after this, then we'll go to the tax.
That's a whole agenda item.
Okay, so is it possible then that to put on the ballot both the recreational marijuana retailing and the tax, so they're both and, or instead of both either? One, obviously, if the recreational marijuana is just defeated, then the tax doesn't kick in,
but that's
right?
Mute.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, there'll be separate questions.
Whatever the council's going to be doing, that's still an option to include on the ballot if, in fact, there's going to be a measure on the ballot.
Correct.
Yes. Okay, I'm happy. Thank you.
Good. Anyone else?
I would like a small name.
Okay.
My name is Christopher Smith, and I'm from 16417 Drive. My concern or interest here really is about the grow side of it, and I want to make sure that if whatever you guys come up with tonight, if there's a good division between what you want to do with your decision concerning recreational usage and your ability to potential businesses moving into the business park and what direction you're moving forward, you know. Obviously there's a great public interest in the recreational side, which obviously because that's on your front street. But I don't know how much benefit that the recreational really brings the city versus what it brings the tax base or the people that use it. You know, I don't know that. Mm-hmm. But I think the children's, what she says about the children is really important. I would only say, the one thing I think of when I hear about what children, and you know, they're obviously our future. I have kids too. And I believe children, are the parents are the front line with children. And the responsibility doesn't lay within the city council to make everything right for the citizens. So an education proposal is great, but it's got to involve parental, it has to have parental involvement. Otherwise, I feel like it's useless, to be honest, with something like this. But as you know, for my interests, I just want to make sure that we have clear, you know, you guys have an opportunity to work on specifically the growing side of it. Because if I'm going to continue to invest money into space and property here, which is obviously going to bring jobs and, you know, the societal benefits of those, I want to be clear on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I think that brings up a concern. We don't have an ordinance or anything to say where we can grow this. I mean, we're talking industrial park, but there's nothing to say somebody can't open up something somewhere else.
Well, yeah, you couldn't grow, you couldn't do a 10,000 foot building in the residential zone growing, doing an industrial use. It is only going to fit in the industrial zone.
Our zoning code in the industrial zone, it references agricultural processing establishments, and that's the only zone within the city.
So if somebody owns a double lot, you don't think they can put up a greenhouse for growth?
We would not sign off on a land use compatibility statement.
I mean, what I'm asking is, do we need some sort of ordinance to that effect?
Well, again, I think we have to wait and see on it. First of all, that has to go through planning commission
and
all that.
Right.
So it's a long process.
Right.
So, but pretty much, if it's for home use, of course they could do it. If they have, because you can't, if they're selling it, see, you're selling it. That would be a home occupation at minimum. Mm-hmm. And your home occupations have to come before, they have to apply for home. In other words, technically, if I'm running a business out of my house, I have to get, so if you're running, if you put up a 10,000 foot greenhouse and you're selling wholesale marijuana, that business, and you'd have to get a home occupation. And that goes through a process.
Well,
and then you can turn it down for smell, traffic, all kinds of things.
And I don't think it would even get that far, because if it's going to be a legally sanctioned commercial recreational marijuana grow operation, they have to go through the OLCC application process, and they cannot apply unless they have a land use compatibility statement signed off by the city. So within the city limits, there's only one zone, the industrial zone, which explicitly outlines agricultural processing establishments, which is what we are interpreting.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly.
Okay. Marijuana, okay. Grow, or process.
I just want to avoid any
problem. No, it's we may not avoid. I don't want, there's no, in this avoiding.
No.
We work to reduce.
To get it as clear as possible.
To mitigate risk, yeah.
Okay. The other thing is, reality is that I think he's right there. The states, these people have to get licensed through the state, and they've made it clear that we have to sign off.
Yes.
Now again, home growing, which we haven't had complaints on that in the city actually, but
no.
Home growing, but they're limited on the number of plants.
Right.
So, but that's a good question.
That's a different issue.
Yeah. I think it's important, before we move on from that, then we got where you want to go. It's pretty obvious from everyone in the room. But remember, those of you that are thinking, this is a work session. We will, in April, but it could be May, we will have an ordinance that they will vote to decide what they're putting on the ballot. Don't go buy something, build something, because this happened in Madras. The council voted one way in a work session, not voted, they went one way in a work session, came back a month later, one council member moved, and one was gone the night of it. They both were on opposite ends of the issue. Guess what that did to the vote? It flip-flopped it. And there were a bunch of mad people. So I just, that's my disclaimer. There, while it sounds they're all on the same page, it's not a vote. We're not holding a hearing tonight. And so until they vote to put what they're going to put on a ballot, it is all subject to change. There could be new council people in 3 months. A lot of things can happen. And so I don't want anyone to leave here thinking, go buy my land tomorrow based on this discussion. It just means they've given us direction to move forward in a particular way. Okay? I think you all know that, but I want that said after what can happen. Save some pain and suffering. So if you're going to buy land, put a long due diligence. Thank you for that discussion.
So we're moving along with that.
Now we'll go to the tax.
Tax. Okay.
Good question from Gary and Dennis started bringing up. So the question really there is, if we do we want to have a tax if in fact we're going to have recreational marijuana? You don't know how the voters are going to vote, because that's the only question we're going to ask. If recreational marijuana is allowed, we would then be eligible to collect the state taxes. That's the 17 plus the 3 if you want to have 3. If you don't want to do a local 3%, we would. You don't need to put it up for vote, and then that is a moot point. If the voters decide they don't want to sell recreational marijuana but want to tax it, well, obviously those two conflict, so it won't happen. There'll be a tax, there'll be nothing to tax. So there'll be two questions on the ballot. One is, you know, do we want to have recreational sales? And the other one's going to be, do you want to tax it if there is? Now, the criticism to that is some people say, you know, government, typical government. On one hand, you're asking us if we want it, but by the way, just in case we want to tax it, you know. There are some people that will make fun of that, mm-hmm. But not a big deal. You need to hedge your bet, because we cannot add the tax later. That was in House Bill 3400 that you can't. So they want this discussion ended in November. So we cannot come back later and add the tax. So what would you like to do with the tax? It would add a 3% local tax.
I would like to.
Absolutely, since we can't come back and get it, mm-hmm. And everything's up in the air anyways, and it's up to the voters, so why not? I'm all for that.
Ken, do you have any comments on the tax?
I'm for it too.
Okay. Karen?
I agree.
Okay.
But again, that's up to the voters.
Yes, correct.
It would be.
So. We should maybe ask, what do you think about this?
I think that there should be a tax on it, just as there's a tax on like other things that you can buy that are of the same nature. And I don't think there should be a ban on having like recreational marijuana or medical marijuana, just because it does bring in business and it does create jobs. And it's a moving topic. It's very modern. It's evolving like every year, every time it's discussed. So it's like you can't really know what to expect and what the people are going to want. But I know just with my experience from around the Pine, people are going to want it. It's good to put it out there and put it to a vote. That way people, their voices are heard. But I'm pretty sure that it's going to stick around.
Do you want to ask, see any comments on that topic? Just to, there is
any comments on the tax?
I actually have a comment just on the recreational marijuana thing altogether. Anybody that lives in Christmas Valley, Crescent, Chamal, Odell, all these areas around here, they all get their marijuana in Bend. They come through here to get that marijuana. If there was some place here that they could get their recreational marijuana, I think the revenue would be a lot for the city, a lot more than just, you know, the people. If they were selling recreational marijuana here in the city, the revenue would be a lot more than just the people of La Pine. You've got a lot of people south of here that come through here to go shopping, and they would stop here and buy it if it was here. I think there's a lot more money in it than just La Pine itself.
Thank you.
I've got a comment.
Go ahead, Ken.
For one thing, recreational marijuana, you're going to be allowed to grow four plants, and I don't know anybody yet who has said anything to me about the fact that they've got a way to keep people from sharing their marijuana. And it is a thing. It is coming. It's here. It's the law of the state that there is recreational marijuana allowed. And so I'm not sure that there's going to be a great impact, but then none of us can be sure about anything in this subject. But I'm just not convinced there's going to be a great impact by the fact that we ban it, and people are going to have to go to Bend. I think it's going to be everywhere. But being responsible elected officials, you know, we're taking the steps to put it on the ballot so the residents can vote on it. And I see that as the avenue of moving forward on this. That's it.
Thank you.
Barbie Dunham again. I was just wondering if there's some way, I don't know when you decide to, if you decide to, I know it's like putting a teardrop in a bucket, of handing out educational material for the people purchasing in the stores or something. I don't know how many people would be in favor of doing that in these stores, but if we made it a city ordinance that they had to let us put those materials in there for people to pick up on the damage to children's brains on this and how to keep it away from them, that sort of thing. If there's some way we can do that when you do your ordinance for this.
Well, we're going to work on, between now and November, time, place, and manner restrictions, which we will have an ordinance that will kind of let you know where they can, can't be. Some of those types of things possibly could be inside of that. Right now, you have to be 1,000 feet from each other, the dispensaries.
Yeah.
But on and that's on medical, but we haven't established that with recreational. So we will work on those, you know, June, July, August. They'll have to go through the planning commission and be approved and kind of work their way back to us at the city council level. But we don't want to even start those till the legislature's done, because if they're going to co-mingle recreational medical, then you're going to write it one way. If they're going to keep them separate, it's another way. Because in a town our size, if you say that recreational and medical still have to be 1,000 feet from each other, you could have, if one person was to go put one out in the Wikia and covers that area, and the two that we've already got here almost cover the town that we've got, and they're selling medical, then some people want to go put recreational in, and they got to be 1,000 feet from medicals. They're already taken. So it could be a real interesting dynamic chess game of where people go. So, well, that's our next foray that we're going to work on. And we're also going to try to let other people do this so we can copy more. Last time with the tax, our attorney, you know, they like to get out ahead of things. And that didn't work so well. So we may take in a few more breaths out of, there's 250 or 60 cities in Oregon and 36 counties, and let them come up with how many cities is there, Kitty?
242.
I keep adding to it. But let them kind of get a little more, rather than, so we're going to wait on that. But that we will have some rules.
I just want to make sure I was clear, because I think you just told us, but so on the ballot for the recreational sales, you'll have whether you want to do the allow recreational sales or not, and then there'll also be something else that will say whether you want to tax it
yes.
or not. So they have the opportunity to not tax it.
Yes, that's correct.
There you go.
Yep.
Okay.
I'd like to make one comment.
Don.
Don Greiner from Crescent
Creek. And you know, Kent made a very good point when he said something about not being able to control people sharing things. Look at it this way. Look at alcohol. That's legal in this state. And it causes a lot of problems with a lot of people. And there's been no way ever devised that if I buy a bottle of booze, that you can stop me from sharing it with whoever I want to share it with. And so if you're going to do marijuana, chances are that it's going to be the same way. But we're already in that situation with alcohol. Thank you.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. So we move forward on those two things. I guess my question is, for the grow operations, how will we address those? And also, we talked about it before, but there would be no sales out of growing operations.
They can't. They can't sell retail-wise.
It would be wholesale.
Karen can't go in to the wholesaler and buy.
Okay.
It's going to go to shops, but it's controlled through the, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rick, may I have a comment?
Yeah.
Well, I just have a comment. The state regulations are about this fat, and they have so many protections built in, such as 8-foot fences that have to be screened, really elaborate security systems, and you have to send encrypted data to the state. And I think one of the instincts of local governments is to say, okay, we need to build in a lot of safeguards. But I think before you start building in safeguards, you need to realize it's already there. It's really, these regulations are really daunting. Anyway, so I just wanted to make that comment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Connie?
Connie Breeze, 52381 Glenwood Drive. I am in favor of taxing it because I think education for our kids is an important factor in it. You know, and Lapine speaks out in signs all over town that we support our youth, and I think that we can speak out in volumes if we're educating our youth and the parents about the marijuana. It's going to be here, but I have a really small youth group right now at church, and I've already had multiple kids suspended from school bringing their parents marijuana since it passed legally just this year. So just big concern of mine is that we do take a look at Lapine as a city and what we want to speak to our kids, and if we really support our youth, then we should be educating them.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay.
The added agenda, do you want to do it after the
vote? We're at the end. We need to go to fight, Adam.
Okay.
Probably add that in after Finley Butte.
Okay. We'll go on to Finley Butte Water Memorandum of Understanding, MOU.
Yeah, so we had a work session probably 3 or 4 months ago, and staff got direction from the council to move forward on creating a new memorandum of understanding with the Lapine Parks and Recreation District regarding Finley Butte Park. That's the 10-acre park that's out Finley Butte Road on the south side. So staff put together a memorandum of understanding using some of the comments that we received from the council at that previous work session. And we also did some calculations and created some recommendations that we are putting forward in this draft. I passed out to council members a few additional items. It's 3 pages. It's a map showing an outline of the proposed green space at Finley Butte Park. It's my understanding that they currently have 2 Little League ball fields, and they'd like to add a third. On the map there, it's outlined in red, is essentially what would be a ball field and then 2 other ball fields. The last page in your packet, council members, we used a feature on the Deschutes dial system, and we calculated the square footage of that. And the front page that you have is, and I'll walk through this, before we dive into the memorandum of understanding, because I think this is an important piece, is how we came up with the gallon amount that we are recommending as a contribution from the city to the Parks District to support green spaces and ultimately their events that they would host, and also just as a green space for residents of the city to use. So that space in red up there is 220,000 square feet. 220,000 square feet. We realize that they're not going to be watering every square foot of that. So we didn't think it was too far of a stretch to use 200,000 square feet. They're not going to be watering the diamond in the ball field. There's going to be spaces in between the fields. But at the same time, if you help someone, you help someone. We thought that 200,000 square feet was an appropriate estimate to use for the size of this green space that the Parks District will want to be watering there at Finley View. We did some research, and I'll walk through this front page, council members. General rule of thumb, a lawn should receive approximately 1 inch of water per week during dry conditions. We know how much the weather can fluctuate here in Lapine, but let's call the watering season April to September. That's 6 months of the year. Providing a lawn with 1 inch of water takes about half a gallon, a little bit more than that approximately, per square foot. So then the calculation that we did is that 200,000 square feet times a little over half a gallon, 0.623 of a gallon, times the 28 weeks, again, watering season of April to September, equated to approximately 3.5 million gallons. If they're watering that 200,000 square feet, 1 inch of water per week to make sure that green, that grass is green. That's a big if, but that's strictly the calculation on gallons that we thought would be a necessary contribution. And based on the 2014 figures of what they used at Finley View Park, about 2.5 million gallons, and in 2015, 2 million gallons, that's only with two ball fields. So we extrapolated out for another ball field, and that would come to needing about 3 million or close to 3.5 million gallons. So I just wanted to walk through that. It's not perfect. It's not exquisite scientific math, but at the same time, we use those figures to come up with how much that green space should be watered per these calculations. So using that, if you refer to the draft memorandum of understanding, the first page is really just outlining, who's involved in the memorandum of understanding. It's the city and the Lapine Parks and Rec District. If you move down to D under recitals, it says the district seeks to expand Finley View Park for additional baseball fields that are necessary to meet the demands of youth and adult recreation in the area. We heard that from the Parks District. The expansion of Finley View Park will allow the opportunity for tournaments that will promote increased visitor spending by tourists to Lapine. We also heard that from the Parks District. The area to irrigate has increased the amount of water necessary to maintain the sports fields and increased the costs to purchase water by the district. We had our rate change back in July, and that fundamentally changed the way that we bill customers for our water and for our sewer. Now, something important to keep in mind for this park is that this water is going on the field, largely. There's a couple bathrooms there. Some of that water will go into the sewer and into our waste treatment plant, but the vast majority of that water will be going onto the field. So you need to understand that when we bill, we have a water bill and we have a sewer bill, and the water used, we assume that every gallon used goes down the drain into the sewer system. You have to be careful that this is a little bit of a different scenario. So I just wanted to make that point. Finally, the city recognizes the importance of green spaces and seeks to support the district in adequate irrigation of the fields at Finley View Park. We heard that from the previous council session. So that's sort of me kind of painting the broad brush strokes. On the second page is where we get into some of the details of what the Parks District, some of the parameters that the Parks District would have given this agreement. And again, this is a draft. And I've been talking, and I want to make sure that council members, you have an opportunity to jump in, or Mayor Mullinex, whenever you see fit. But if you so wish, I'll keep kind of working through, and we'll stop and discuss when appropriate. Is that fine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like I was talking a little too much. No, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page and moving through this. So, top of page 2. Now, therefore, in each in consideration of the other, the parties agree as follows. So again, we're getting into the details of this. Number 2, the city will make one annual contribution of 3,500,000 gallons each July for the following fiscal year. Fiscal year starts in July. This contribution of 3,500,000 gallons would start in July. It would run until the end of the following June. And again, I outlined how we came up with that 3.5 million gallons. Item number 3 on there. The district has agreed to pay any charges for water above the 3,500,000 gallon annual contribution. Item number 4. The monthly utility charges will be based on a 2-inch meter, which is the size of the meter that is out at Finley Ute right now, plus an additional blank. And that's a discussion item that will be on the table tonight if council would like to work with that figure. The base utility charge for a 2-inch meter, water and sewer based charges, is approximately $311 per month. That is not including usage at all. So they would be charged under this agreement approximately $311, unless you decide to fill in that blank and up that amount monthly. They would have their 3.5 million gallons to use. If they exceeded that number, they would pay their monthly charge, and then they would pay additional gallons above that 3.5. We have, Ashley can follow the gallons of usage per month. We do meter readings, so it would not be hard to check in on that halfway through the year or three quarters through the year to find out where they're at, and bill them if they're going over that 3.5. Additionally, in number 4, the rate is charged subject to the most current rate resolution and will be adjusted accordingly if the council adopts new rates for all utility customers. So again, this is based on a 2-inch meter. Anyone that has a 2-inch meter in the city pays this base charge plus usage. So if our rate structure goes up and the 2-inch charge goes up in the next, this agreement's written for 3 years, per this agreement, that charge, monthly charge, would be indexed to that increase. Is there any discussion or comments so far at this point? No? You want me to keep? Go ahead, Karen.
We can either do it now, or we can come back to the item number 4.
Well, and maybe actually, do you mind if we finish through this?
No, go ahead.
I think this will probably be the largest point of
ahead.
Discussion. Thanks. Let's finish through this. A couple other parameters. Number 5, the district is required to irrigate between the hours of 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. when the demand for water is low. If you think about the city and about residential and commercial users in this city, most of the usage activity is during the day, in the morning when people are taking showers, in the evening when people are taking showers, people are cooking. In the summer months, people are out watering their lawns or washing cars at 4 in the afternoon. They're not doing that at 10 p.m. or 4 a.m. Okay? So that staff felt that was an important consideration, that that water is sitting there in this aquifer 300 feet down, and we have a right to pull it out, and the residents and commercial users in the city are not drawing that water, not much, not compared to peak demand at all, marginal, between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. So we felt that was an essential element of this contribution.
Hey, Ken?
Yes.
Ken, are you all done? There's a lot of noise and talking in the background.
Not anymore.
Are you getting a refill? No? Oh, okay.
Okay.
Number 6, staff also felt that it was an important recommendation that the district will use best management practices that support water conservation and protect water quality. The irrigation system must be maintained to assure all irrigation systems are working properly and only during the hours of operation set forth in this memorandum of understanding, that 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. Number 7, the city has authority in the event...
Does Gary have a copy? What happened to... What's her name?
I don't have a copy. I forwarded Karen the agenda on Friday.
She's in hospital surgery right now, and I just got back from a week out of town.
We'll get you a copy.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Can I sit up at the table?
Let Rick get you a draft. You stay there, and then we'll have public comment on this.
Okay.
Number 7, the city has authority in the event of an emergency to temporarily suspend water for irrigation purposes at Finley View Park. So again, and I don't, this would not probably even only apply to the Parks District, if there is an emergency, we will be telling citizens that they will not be, you're not going to be irrigating your lawn, you're not going to be washing cars, you're not going to be watering ball fields. I think that goes without saying, but the reason you create a memorandum of understanding is that it's spelled out word by word that, and hopefully an emergency wouldn't last for more than a day or two anyways, but you want to have that in there, okay? Number 8, the city will be recognized. The city will be recognized for the significant contribution to Finley Butte Park and maintenance of green spaces as a result of the contribution of these 3.5 million gallons. And number 9, the initial term of this agreement will be 39 months beginning April 1st of this year. So you got the 3 months, April, May, and June, and then starting July 1, as we mentioned earlier in the memorandum, that's when that contribution starts for the following 3 years. So we figured, the watering season that we used is April to September, so we felt that it was critical to have this in place by this spring, and then moving forward from there. And ending on June 30th, 2019, unless terminated earlier by mutual consent of both parties, this agreement will automatically extend after the initial term for an additional year or years beginning July 1 of that year. And then either party may terminate this agreement after the initial terms with 180 days notice to the other party. So that's saying that the intent is for this to last for 3 years, 39 months to be specific. But if there is for some reason a consensus among council to exit this agreement, there's an avenue to do so. And after the 39 months, well, before that 39 months, this issue will be revisited for a renewal of this agreement or possible changes, again, depending on circumstances and how this worked out so far. So I felt like I talked a lot. I would, staff, we drafted this. This is, we're not making a decision tonight. I had hoped that the Parks District, I spoke with Karen Miller, the Parks Director, last Tuesday when I thought I was going to their Parks Board meeting, but I had realized that it was moved to the previous week. So I talked to her then. When this agenda came out on Friday, I emailed her the agenda. I had hoped it had made it around. It looks like President Gary Gordon is now finally getting a look at it, but we staff would like comments from council on amendments that would be made to this before we then went and shared it with the entire Parks Board, and then obviously before we voted on this. The tentative timeline is to vote on this in March, so we still have plenty of time to think through it, so that then again it could be effective April 1. So that I think I. Tell me if I framed that well enough, and what your thoughts are.
It's real understandable.
Good.
I think it's a fair MOU. I know as far as plus additional fee, I think with the contribution of the basic fees that they're going to pay, if there was to be a charge, I wouldn't want to look at that until the 39 months were up. Let's see if indeed this process of watering and everything brings more revenue in, that more kids can use it, and that type of thing.
Don't do any charges.
I did. Yeah, I did. And actually, and that's a good point, Kathy. One thing that I should add is that this is a significant increase from what the previous agreement outlined that they paid at Finley Butte, which was approximately $56 per month. Now, when I say this is a significant increase to what we're proposing, that 2-inch base charge of $311, that $311 per month is a very significant reduction from if you added on the actual gallons, and I'm talking tens of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. So put that in perspective both ways, that this is an increase from that 56, but it's also significantly less if they were being charged for the usage. I just wanted to frame that as well, in case you were curious.
Okay.
Kathy?
Okay. Yes, sir. Just a minute, Ken.
Wait a minute, Ken. I think okay. we need a lot more input from the park district. I mean, as to how are they going to improve this property, what they're going to do with it. I mean, there's buildings out there that's going to have to be maintained, upgraded. The parking lot's a little rough.
I'm ready when you want to hear it.
Okay, the plans of, you know, how you're making money from this project, you know, proposed how much you're going to make, all of these things. I mean, this is a substantial amount of water we're giving away. So I think we have a right to see what they're going to do with it. And okay.
Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a couple of comments on item number two. A little wordage there about an annual contribution of 3,500,000 gallons each July for the following fiscal year. They're going to, we're going to do this starting in April the 1st. So that there's something about that date. The second thing is we'll go down to item number five, and where the district is required to irrigate between the hours of 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. I can tell you that most people get up in the morning by 6 o'clock and they're on their way to work, and there's a lot more water gets used at 6 o'clock and a lot less, you know, by 8 o'clock and after 8 o'clock. So I think there's a misdirection on that time of being a time when they're not using a lot of water. The other thing is, you know, I think this is a very good start. I think that the idea of them being good partners and actually working with the city can be expressed in this document. I think that you know, based upon the idea that when they presented you know, 2 or 3 months ago when we first addressed this, that the focus at that point in time was making money, and the manager of the park district used the term of $30,000. I struggle with that. Now I understand totally that we've got a situation where we can contribute to green space, but I don't think that's a one-way street. And the way I read this now, I see some one-way street in this here. I want to see a partnership. We haven't heard anything about how they plan on implementing this, what the field, the conditions of the field. I mean, will they even use it this year? Can they even get the fields ready this year? And so I'm just saying that I don't know of a plan that's in place that's going to address how this will be accomplished in putting those fields in play. And let's say that we got these lines out there, and in April, when we know it can be very cold, and they get a water break, and they run out, you know, during the day they run out, you know, 2-inch line is going to push a lot of water out there. The other thing is, and just about the last, I guess, is I want us to be good partners. to be able to look at each other and say, you know what, we're doing our part, and the other party say, you know what, we're doing our part. And I think that a good start on that is the $311 a month. And then I actually believe that I think there ought to be an additional fee. And my range on that is around $150. And again, I'm talking about a partnership. I'm talking about the willingness of two groups to see each other's side and come to an agreement like that. So those are about the main points I have. Oh, and one down on number nine, either party may terminate this agreement after the initial terms with 180 days notice. Well, there's not even that many days in the period of irrigation. So I would recommend we reduce that to 90 days. So that's my input.
Okay, Karen?
I think my question is, when we went into the agreement before over the water with the park district, they actually didn't pay very good in return for their money. So I'm questioning whether or not they can afford the $311 already. Then I'm questioning whether the $150 that was just introduced might be a real problem. I think that we need to help the kids. I have no problem with that. I think we need to donate water. I have no problem with that. But I think that we have to be a little reasonable here so that they can meet their, I'm going to say their glit, their, if they couldn't meet it before, how in the world are they going to meet it now? My question was, another ball field when they couldn't pay for the water for the other one. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but I think we've got to be a little bit more realistic. Now, that's just my thought. Why put them in a place where they're not going to be able to succeed again? That's my question.
Yeah, I just think we need more.
Gary,
need to hear
do you want to?
Is it my turn yet?
Yes, why don't you?
Well, if you want me to make a couple comments on it, I can answer a couple questions. Starting at the bottom, Ken makes a good point why the 180 days was thought through. It's because if we're going to terminate, and suddenly they budgeted, say, $4,000 for the year, and we terminate, and suddenly that bill goes to $25,000, in a budget their size, it basically would break them. Mm-hmm. And so I think you go into these intergovernmental agreements with, if we're not getting along and we're going to terminate, no one does it hastily. In other words, you're going to finish that season. And that means next year we're not going to, and since budget years start July 1, that's the second point was, why are you doing July 1? We made it 39, the water season starts in April, May. We need to get them to there. And so we did basically a 36 month and added the 3 months to get it to 39. And so then after that, it's an annual deal. And that's just kind of like balancing yourselves to get to the date. They aren't going to use very much water in April and May because the water is really used in July and August. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want to clutter this up with, you could use 200,000 gallons in May and 200,000 gallons. I mean, this is, you're looking at it kind of an ongoing thing. So that's why both of those were done. I think you have to give people that chance. Just to let you know, we have the water rights for about 525 million gallons a year. We currently don't use even 100 million gallons for everybody in the city year round. So there are 400 plus million gallons of water available. And the issue, it's like a freeway. You wouldn't need that stop signal if I moved you from wanting to drive at 8 or 9 or 5 or 6 and you're willing to drive at 3 a.m., you know, it's that whole crowding thing. So that's why you pick the hours. And another question Ken had, 8 to 8. We can adjust that, but we know when we pump water. And the reason that the water goes up isn't because you take less showers or more in the summer. The only difference is outside activities. And most people, not 100%, few people are washing their cars at 6 a.m. and few wash them at 9 and 10 at night. So 8 to 8 is pretty well when people are done. And the real difference is water in the yard. People tend to water in the daytime. They wash their cars in the daytime. They do their laundry in the daytime. That's when they're using a lot of water. And so, you know, should it be 9 to 7, Ken? Yeah, I mean, we can go look that up. But the peak use is in the middle of the afternoon at 4, 5, 6, when people are home from work and they're running their sprinklers at their max. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can make some of those adjustments. Those are all pretty minor issues. So, I think as far as then the question of, you know, if they don't build a third field, then they won't use the water. Yeah. I mean, you don't water mud. So, and I guess for me, I have enough confidence in they have an elected board, they're going to make sound decisions, and again, they're not going to just go flood the dirt. So if they, and you know how we all complain about the feds, you know, how they put all these regulations on us and all the rules, and yet isn't it funny, I always find, we complain about other agencies or the state of Oregon making you go through all these hoops. And you say, gosh, why don't you just, you know, give it to us? And I guess Corey and I tried to rate it, to build this with the understanding of true partnership. It's a 3-year deal. You trust the board. You trust that they want to build fields for kids. And if they can build a third field, they will. And if they can't, they're not going to dump the water down the street. And you just have to, you know, give that faith. We could have gotten into, you must mow it weekly, it must look a certain green, but it's like, where do you stop on all of that? And so I guess that's the spirit that we built it, is to let the parks have 3 years to green it up and get their irrigation system working good and give them something that's solid and give them a chance, and you use the word, Karen, to succeed. It doesn't do us a lot of good to help them, but then you get yourself so deep into it that we've inserted ourselves into their business. And that's just, you know, kind of how, with the spirit of what we were trying to do. Give them a helping hand to make this work. And if it doesn't work, you'll revisit it. We try to put in things about the sprinkling system needs to work and, you know, those kind of things. And we have the ability to go in and say, look, we're going to, you know, you just can't be doing this. And I think that's the spirit that it will work. Mm-hmm. And we can add a lot more things about master plans and what are you going to do with the parking lot and the paving and, you know, but we're talking about grass and fields for kids. And, you know, what they do with the building, you know, we didn't get into those kinds of issues. So.
Could I ask one more little question? If they have this many gallons of water, and the way that our concept of looking at water and sewer is all these gallons of water going to make their sewer bill go up?
No. No, they would pay that base flat charge, and then again, that element of faith, we would be understanding and saying that these are the gallons that are going on the grass. It's not working its way into our main lines and ultimately into our treatment facility. So there's no burden that those gallons are adding.
Yeah, you're going to have some summer use in the building and some flushing of toilets. But that's
very, very minimal.
Yeah. I mean, this is for grass. Yeah. You would never use this kind of water you know, for you.
Another question or comment, Kathy.
Go ahead.
I think that, you know, there's no doubt here that this is a basic memorandum of understanding that would work very well. No, we don't want to be into their nitty-gritty of what they do. We're confident that the board, you know, within a reasonable place, that they're going to, you know, be able to manage their plans and move forward on this. I just think that, I still think that, you know, they're talking about, you know, it was said in the last meeting, they're talking about doing this to make money. And yeah, the whole piece of it is about our kids. And I totally support all of that. Nobody's arguing that, especially me. I'm just saying that if they're already willing to say, and they have said, that they're going to make all of this money because they're going to put all these plans in place and make it happen, I can't see the argument or the idea that that in being partners, they wouldn't be willing to at least show some effort by adding a stipend to the meter fee. I mean, we don't give water to anybody, and I'm not sure, Karen, what you were mentioning about the last time we did this thing with water, they couldn't pay for it, so I wasn't quite sure of that. But the last time we gave them water was $1,000 a month or $1,000 a year for 5 years to upgrade their well and everything at the parks, and they never did it. I'm just talking about $5,000 that we've already given them, and we've seen no benefit about that. And I just think that I don't see where it's not reasonable to ask them, in being partners with us in this very, very generous offer, to come up with a piece of money besides the 2-inch meter fee. So there it is.
Can I say something?
Yeah, Gary.
Dennis. Just one quick thing. It's not that I want to nitpick what they're doing, because I have full trust in the Park and Rec department. It's that this is almost a partnership. I mean, we're putting a lot of, you know, water out there and stuff. We want them to succeed as much as they want to succeed. So I want to make sure we are in partnership with them, and they're going to succeed at this. There's nothing better I'd like to see than 3 baseball fields out there. You know, and if there's more than we have to do, we can maybe do that. I just want to make sure they can succeed at it. That's all.
Do you have anything else to?
I just had kind of a question.
Okay.
Is the water that's being basically donated to them, is it going to be used just to water the grass that's out there, or will it also be available for use to be able to water down the dirt and to, like, prepare the fields before games and practices and stuff?
That would count. I mean,
all the above.
Yeah.
And then I know there are technically, like, 3 fields out there already. One, it's just really, really scrubby, and so it needs a lot of work. They use it for, like, the little kids. And so, but I think it would be good to focus on getting that one to actually be green. But that's just all I have to add, is that there are 3 fields. Just one of them isn't the best condition.
Okay, now, Gary.
Thank you. I kind of wish I was with the Mr. Mayor of Mexico doing the fishing.
Yeah.
But it's really nice to be here. I compliment the council and the mayor on their openness, their thoroughness, their wide view, and it's a privilege to do, answer all those questions to the best of my ability. And I also thank very much Corey and his staff to have put it together, done a lot of research. Clearly this is not a an extremely simple thing. Water is still a public asset, and you are stewards of that. And as the Park District is stewards of its responsibilities to the community as well. Partnership is absolutely essential. And in fact, we've already discussed, and I say we, I mean the general manager and I, and we're going to be presenting it to the board, but we don't anticipate any opposition. But you see, the partnership thing fits in beautifully with what our realistic current plans are. It'll be, of course, a big sign has to be changed on that out there to fit what it's going to be and what it's going to become. It will obviously be the Lapine Park and Recreation District. The name of it will be the Findlay Butte Sports Complex in partnership with the City of Lapine. And then underneath that will be the various things that you hang on there about who is also going to be partners with regard to the Park and Rec and the developing, maintaining, and using the facilities. We have gone through a period, for those who have been here a while, of knowing that there's been some financial issues with the district. Fortunately, in the past 9 months, since the new board really has taken over, all of that has changed completely. We're very pleased. We're in the black, not by much, but our programs, they're paying for themselves. And so all the bad things that happen when you're not financially responsible look like they're a good history lesson for us and we can move forward. But again, we have four brand new members of the board. We have new direction, new excitement, and new insight. And we have the cooperation all the way up to through the county and just all the departments. And it's all going very well like it needs to be. The City of Lapine is absolutely, totally essential. This is our first love. When people go to the park, they think it's the Lapine Park, that the city's responsible for it. There's a few questions that I would like to address absolutely immediately, and with all due respect, I was in attendance when Karen Miller, our general manager, made a comment about bringing money. It was my impression that what she said was that if we're able to be getting tournaments out there, it's not raising money for the park district, it's raising money for the city through tourism and through restaurant use and that kind of thing. And I believe that was the context in which it was said, and if it wasn't said precisely that way, that's the context in which it was meant. The second thing that I think needs to be addressed was that it's not true that we haven't done anything. In fact, quite the opposite is. You'll notice that the only discussion here is about the Findlay Butte complex. That we still use water at Heritage Park, at our community center, but that's not on the menu. And the reason it's not on the menu is because we are using our well properly and maintaining it. And we can, because of that, we can deal with our water issues there, including the additional bathroom facility that was so generously given to us by the foundation, but it gave us an additional responsibility in terms of water and sewage and hookup fees and standard things. That's being taken care of. There was a well, and apparently is a well, out at Findlay Butte. However, with the financial issues that happened in the past, there was never any money to get it fixed, required a new pump and other things. A couple of years ago, you may have noticed when you drove by there that there was lots of lines in the field from pipes that were going to ground for irrigation. Well, we probably are going to have to do some other things. The first thing is that in addition to all of this stuff that we're talking about in fees and stuff, is that we're going to obviously have to figure a way to get the cost of getting, you know, upgrading equipment and monitoring systems and new sprinkler head, you know, stuff to make this agreement work. And that's a cost that the district is going to have to figure out a way to get. Another point is that even with an increase of, say, from $50 a month to about $3,800 a month, just for over a year period of fees, just as a hookup fee, just a standard fee, it's going to require, just with the same budget that we have, which is bare bones and really, really pinching that penny until it turns red, okay, is that we're going to have about 10 new residents build within the park district. That would raise the revenue to cover just the cost of the $311 a month that we would be paying. We're hoping that we get new residents in the district. I believe the district's about 85 square miles, certainly much larger than the city limits of Lapine. But also we can get maybe some new residents in the city of Lapine too, which is included in the district. But again, as we move forward, we have to say, are we going to get 10 new residents built to cover that $311 assessment per month just for that one place? And we know that Deschutes County is the fastest growing and all of that other stuff. So I'm kind of really hoping, but I can't guarantee that it will happen. So getting in mind that we're going to be paying, assuming that that's what it would be, only $311, we're going to have also a step of faith that we believe that we can do it and we'll do everything we can, including bake sales and cookie sales if we have to, because that's how we did it for 20 years. But it's still something that I want to keep it all in perspective on that. Let me talk about the well at Finley Butte just a little bit more. The well, apparently, the pump was apparently just too big. And actually, that's what happens when sometimes people donate things. They say, well, here it is. Clogs it all up and doesn't make it work right. Well, in addition to having a well that needs to work, we are an obligation, particularly as a public corporation, to pay attention to what the Oregon Revised Statutes say about how we can use that water and how much of it we can have. 537.545 is one of our favorite, we don't like that one, but it's the nature of the law of Oregon Revised Statutes. It says that we can irrigate only 5,000 gallons a day, only. And of that irrigation, we can only use it on a half an acre. I did a calculation. Corey was kind enough to make some calculations, and then I just extrapolated a little bit further, knowing the amount of square feet in an acre. What we're seeking to irrigate is about 4.6 acres. So 4.6 acres, a half gallon or half an acre, leaves 4.1 acres just brown and dead. So you can't expect a well to be able to do that. But what I would like to see, I would like to see that well work. And that's the water that I would like to see used to water the fields for the infield and that kind of thing. But also, the ball fields aren't the only part of a sports complex. We have, 10 years ago, there was a comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan, first thing it said, it says, 10 years from now, you better update this thing. And sure enough, we're going to be involved with that. I can tell you that as of this particular moment, and this is not trying to get brownie points in front of the city council, but we have just about finished all the things that we can do over at the community center with the help of the foundation, which has just been phenomenal. Yeah, we'd love to get that parking lot paved. Yeah, we'd love to do those things. All in one time, but our major efforts right now are on Finley Butte. And we have a lot of new talent on the board, and we have some very dedicated and loyal employees with a great amount of knowledge. It's a good working combination. In order to accommodate the needs of the community in addition to the ball fields, we have to be doing some amending of our long-term plan so we can include other projects. And it will be my hope that the water necessary for those projects will be taken care of by a well that works. So the idea is that the water that the city is distributing to us would not be used except for the green space, which is really what it's intended for. That is how we intend to do it. And let me see what else we got. Yes, what we have also, you know, Little League signups are going on right now. We have been seeking grant money, and we have obtained some grant money. And what you're going to see as soon as we can get it completely cleared out of there, certainly upgrading the stands, the safety corridors with regard to the dugouts and all of that. So we refurbished, we did score up a $10,000 grant to make it right. So that's already happened. And as soon as that money is there, and as soon as we have the ability to make it weatherized, that's going to happen. We've also been soliciting a greater participation with community partners. Not only is the city a community partner with us, but we're talking about the Lions, we're talking about all kinds of good folks up in Sun River. As soon as we can get this thing accomplished and get the water and get it done, we've got tons and tons and tons of volunteer work to put in those lawns, get the water stuff arranged, get it done right. And it's going to be actually an incredibly beautiful place to play ball in and to go to and to enjoy for the community. It is not a back burner item. Finley Butte is our number one priority. And I'm here to tell you that that I'm not going to stop until it's done right. And neither is our general manager. I'm not at liberty to talk about the other things that are going on that we're planning for Finley Butte because it's going to require a process. But all I can tell you is that we've been listening to what the community wants over long periods of time. And it's our goal to have that in our master comprehensive plan. And I believe that the amount of water that we can legally use will take care of those needs. Okay. So let me see if there's something else that I can throw in here. Yeah, that's pretty much, if I miss some questions, will you please ask me?
I'm okay. Karen? You okay? Dennis?
Well, so you're looking to, as soon as the weather breaks, to start some action out there. And
it's already started. The stuff that we could do, including the repair of the Lions building, we got some money for that. We got a nice grant. I can also tell you that, although it's a little off topic at the moment, we did get $10,000 toward the contribution to repair the roof on the JCJ building. Mm-hmm. And then we're working with COC to do some other grants and try to maybe expand that for have a real COC campus right here on our property. Those are things that are being talked about. They're not committed. They're not promised. But that's the direction and the vision that this board has, as an example.
I just want to see it succeed.
Oh, so do I. Because we have a few more things we have to accomplish. A few more things.
Ken, do you have anything else?
No.
Okay, well, thank you for letting me respond to some of those things. And but the plan, at least at this point, I know you have details and things, and this is the preliminary. We have a board meeting on the 2nd of February, Groundhog Day. It's a special meeting. We're doing some things. But it won't be I could do an initial presentation. We have another board meeting set the third Tuesday in February, and then thereafter it'll be the third Tuesdays from each of the following months. There's been some scheduling and, you know, out of townness and stuff like that. So we have to really hammer this thing. We've got to shape it. We've got to mold it, but all with the same working together philosophy that they can make it work. And I see this as a tremendous solution. And I know that it will work out. And if it's and I got that confidence that we'll make it work and not disappoint.
Okay.
Can I say something real quick? I've been to a few of the board meetings there, and I can tell you that he is an accomplished policymaker and definitely a wizard at finding money that's missing. So I think that he would do a great job at this, getting this accomplished.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
I think Kathy made a good point that the 3 month or 3 year agreement or 39 month agreement will give us a chance to see them succeed. And then if they are successful partners, then I'm assuming that they would up their portion of the partnership to reflect that, mm-hmm. but to give them the opportunity to initially do what they need to do to make it right and to bring the tournaments in would be good.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, you know, I don't know which one us to do. This is our draft. Mm-hmm. So I haven't heard any consensus yet on something you want changed or added. I've heard, you know, a comment about hours maybe, I mean, and some of those things, but I don't know what you want, because I guess one of two things. One is you could, I guess they can talk about it, but again, they're probably more than happy with what's here. You know, they're going to have to spend money to upgrade, I can guarantee you, because their system won't water very well at night right now. And we're not going to let them water in the daytime. And they know that. And so they are going to spend thousands of dollars to get those systems up. Number two, you are not, these fields are not ready for tournaments. And whether or not you take in $3,000 or $30,000, they are a couple years away mm-hmm. from being able to host a tournament. Right. So there'll be no income for the foreseeable future. I suppose maybe in year three they could have a tournament or two. And I can tell you, because I've been involved somewhat with these, that you know, you only have, I mean, if you even talked about a big tournament, most towns our size, they have one. Maybe if they had two. You're talking, if you took $30,000 and they're supposed to take that in rental fees, $10,000-$15,000 of income from a Little League tournament is not going to happen. It mathematically isn't going to happen. They just, you know, they're all using volunteer money too, and so they'll come in and pay a couple $100 entry fee, and, you know, you get a couple, you get 10 teams or 20 teams, and you got to pay the ref or the umpires and all those other things, and, you know, the net that's left is, you know, not a lot. They're just so, but anyway, they're certainly a long ways away from being able to rent those. I mean, they don't have dugouts, and, you know, it's pretty primitive.
Yeah. It is a process.
Well, what would you like us to do, I guess? We'll do whatever you guys want.
That has to be decided tonight?
Well, no.
You said you're going to vote on in March.
Well, no. It's just, we're not deciding. It is, I guess it'll just sit, which is great. They're going to start watering in April. And so, you know, the time will go by. This is next month's February. So whatever you want. I mean, I guess we've tried to give you what we can, and it's now up to you guys to.
What I'm hearing, if I'm hearing everybody right, that you would like to accept the MOU as written, except for Ken. Ken talked about adding 150. But I think you answered the 90 compared to 180 days, the 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. I don't, unless there's something you guys see on that that you would rather change.
Well, you've done the studies on that, and that
yeah,
works.
I mean, we could make it. You know, one of the things is when you have that many fields, you need a lot of hours to get the watering in because of the number of heads. And if you've done your own lawn system, when you have something that big and you want it to water a half hour per set, you know, and you've got that many acres has a lot of water flowing. And it just, you know, if you get it down to say midnight to 5 a.m. or 10 p.m. to 5 a.m., it just really bunches it. And the fact is we have the capacity. So there's no capacity issue at 8 p.m.
Can't we put down if it becomes an issue, like from 7 to 8?
We could broaden. Well, one of the things we could do is where we kind of put, where we could put and strengthen the clause or add something that beyond the, I guess, the 6 month thing, 180 days, is that you're canceling the whole thing.
Right.
We could strengthen or add some things.
Which item? The management practices section.
Which number?
That's number 6.
Number 6. District will use best management practices to support water conservation, protect. You know, we could add on or add another one that says if the hours of operation, we could whole list, hours of operation, anything needs to be changed, more modified, we have the ability to do that as needed.
Okay.
Something like that.
I'm just for getting everything covered that we can get covered.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go back.
We could go ahead and add something that gives you that ability to, you know, say, hey, you know, we're having problems with our, we're not, we need to cut back, and you do it an hour later, an hour earlier, those type of things.
You would assume it's a two-way street.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, of course. I mean, you know.
So if we're having problems, we need to communicate them with our partner.
Correct. I mean, if you said it could be, because we haven't done the math. It could be they say we need to start at 7:30, you know, and as long as we've got the water and it's no problem, it's that. But I think you need a way to make modifications, and I think that would make the mayor happy, because I get what he's saying. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know how it's going to turn out. So we could, Corey can work some magic on another one of those paragraphs that gives us some flexibility if it doesn't work for either side. You don't need to pick the dollar number tonight at all. That's not a big deal.
Okay.
I think that what we could do is we can come up with the new one, send that out to you to look at, get it to the Parks District. They're going to meet in a week or so, and Corey was going to attend that meeting.
Thank you.
And
they don't have any objections for anybody going.
No, it's public meeting.
No, it's open.
Yeah. And then kind of hear what they, you know, what they say. The other thing then, we could have a little, if we needed to have a joint meeting, the other thing, we could actually have a joint meeting in February with the Parks Board and our city council, sit around like this and kind of go over it a final time.
Okay.
And then adopt something in March. Maybe that would be good. So you kind of get...
I offer something like that.
The five and the five together, you know, because it is important to have a good relationship. And I think... You know, this is a big donation. You guys are doing a lot, and they're doing a lot. Together, we can make this.
Well, the thing with it is, it'd be nice to make donations like this to a lot of organizations, but we aren't. So this is,
yeah,
you know.
Well, yeah, you know, I think Corey said I wasn't in here, but most every city does, in fact, they have to. I can guarantee if you went to most cities and said, someone else mow and take care of and maintain it, all we're going to do is give the water, they'd say, where do I sign?
Good deal.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
So that's what I look at, is that we're doing our part where we can, where even in other cities that have parks districts, the cities still maintain entrances and all kinds of things. You know, we're going to be giving water to the streetscapes. And when you add up a mile on each side of a road, and you know, so cities, that's done. You know, we lose X% actually in it just leaks and goes away. There's actually a number, and it's actually millions of gallons. So,
well, I'm all for stepping, you know, ahead a little bit, maybe meet with the park district and have a joint meeting and okay. just approve it and get everything.
Okay, so our plan will be, we'll make that adjustment you guys have talked about. Mm-hmm. We will be at their meeting, not as that isn't a joint meeting. We'll come, Corey will come in if you want to be there, and then if they would like to have a joint meeting, too, we'll schedule that for sometime in the late February mm-hmm. and get the two groups together for an hour.
And then
in March, take it to the appropriate jurisdictions for approval. That way in April they're ready to go. Is that a fair plan?
Sounds good.
Can I say something real quick? I just wanted to say that, you know, as our city is progressing and we're moving forward and we're trying to establish a brand or a print of some sort and change what people have a concept of in Lapine, a lot of their concept is there is nothing here for kids to do. So with our help, and I know a lot of organizations right here in town that are willing to help them with this project. So moving forward with this, I think we need to do it just to help the kids. It's a big plan that you guys are setting forth to brand the city. Let's brand it so that they understand that families can come here with their kids and have something to do. Because we really don't have a lot here for them.
There was, I guess a while back, maybe before I arrived, there were these wonderful signs that people would put on their front lawns. It said, Lapine supports its youth. We have one, obviously, in the community center, but I've seen a few of them scattered around, and I think, you know, maybe we should bring those back.
It's on our South County sign right there.
Yeah. Okay. So that's taken care of. We'll go on to the added agenda TGM grant.
Sure. Yeah, well, I'll talk about it. So last year, the city applied for and the council adopted a resolution to authorize staff to apply for a grant through the Oregon Department of Transportation and the Oregon Department of Land Conservation and Development through a program called Transportation Growth Management. Sarah Architects came and held a couple workshops, the culmination of which was held in this room in September, 5 months ago. They gave a presentation on sort of what a downtown could look like with different streetscape elements and design features and architectural this and that. That was good, and they gave us a lot of food for thought. The next progression is moving to where the city actually has code ordinances that say that when development occurs, there's this level of standard. Now, you can see that Sisters did that, and they're over at this extreme of what that standard is. But there are also other cities that put a standard in place, such as Sandy, Oregon. If you're driving up 26 and over the mountain, you see that they require certain design features of brick or stone up a few feet, wood elements, things like that. And this application would not be necessarily designing those that look, but what it would be for is bolstering our code and getting about $50,000 in grants from the state to help the city update and revise its code. So we have prepared a letter of request for TGM code assistance. Rick and myself have been talking to Laura Buell, who's the program manager for this, over the last few months, knowing that we wanted to pursue this. And because we did the first step in the TGM program, it's very, very likely that we will be getting the second round, which again will be moving the city further ahead in terms of what controlling and influencing what development will look like and building that kind of, called it, continuity along Huntington and in the downtown core. And then when urban renewal kicks in, some funds will go and be able to, again, bolster those design elements. So what we've prepared here is a letter to Laura saying that the city is interested in pursuing an application for this program. And we will also have on February 10th a resolution for the council to adopt, again, essentially saying that the city wants to move forward with this code assistance program. Where did I leave out, boss?
It's a great deal. And when we did the first TGM grant, I talked to Laura, this is probably a year ago now, and I told her that you know, it doesn't do much good to just do Sierra and then stop. Otherwise, it's what happens in a lot of places. You know what? It's a nice report sitting on a shelf. Mm-hmm. But if you don't take it anywhere, you know, it doesn't help you. So, and she understood that. They did, and they liked this next step. And so, to a degree, they are basically about out of money, and they're going to start picking these, like, in a week. And she said, because of that discussion we had, she said, you're going to be right up there. So she said, I really need this to get in. So we're not having a council meeting for an official vote. Remember, one of the things we do, we talk about grants, we apply for grants, we do things. But grants are a commitment always. So you will find we always come here for approval before we apply, and certainly before we commit the city to, because sometimes there's matching funds, because not any one of us or staff has that authority. So we aren't going to send this off. He's sending it off in the morning. If you kind of give us a consensus that you're good with this, then I will sign, we'll have Kathy sign, get that in, and then knowing that we will do an actual official resolution in a couple weeks. But it's worth about $50,000. Then they actually hire the consultant, and I've talked to her about the best one in Oregon from Portland, that would be perfect for this, and she agrees. And so the state will actually hire, they do it, and then they will start working with us. And it'll be a several month process. Planning Commission will be involved. It's pretty neat stuff, and it will end up putting into code the things that we're trying to do. And we're actually getting some good compliance with people just because we talked to them about it, but that doesn't always work. So we're excited about it. It's part of this whole vision stuff that we've been working on. We're trying to do things in a stair-step approach, you know, and not going off 10 directions, and this is the next step. And then after this, then the next thing is we can start applying for more grants to get more money to then build the streetscapes. And, you know, we applied for the $1.5 million for the other side of the street. But, you know, we were talking to a business that is going to maybe do some work on that side of the street in this week and or last week.
Last week.
And you know, we talked to them about building to what the west side is going to look like. And they said, great, give us a design. And so you're going to see possibly some development on the east side that will have lamps, the street lights, the grass, 8-foot sidewalks, paid for by the private project. And that's, see, when we get this into code, that'll be required. So I think it's a great deal.
Good.
For
you. Good. Karen? Ken?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, are you in favor of this, moving forward with it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is just the second step, and it's been a vision that we've had, and we knew it was going to come along. And, of course, this is really the, to me, the gratifying step where we do put this into code, and we got somebody that knows what they're doing to do it. And working with our staff, it'll get done exactly like we've always thought we wanted it to be. So, yeah.
Okay.
We'll do it. Before Kathy leaves, we'll have you
sign it. Okay. Are there any public comments?
How many different teams did you interview for that?
We are interviewing.
For the?
The state of Oregon does it.
Do they?
Yeah, it's their process. The money never comes to us. Okay. So we don't have any control over any of it. We don't sign the contract. We don't hire them.
Okay. Any council comments? I didn't know if I saw Don's hand go up or if he just moved. Karen?
Sounds like a good plan to me. We started it. We might as well move forward, as I say, baby steps, so we don't have to go backwards.
On to mayor comments.
Mayor? Well, that's the mayor.
I know. Are we down there? Okay. Mayor, do you have any other comments?
No, I'm good.
You're
good? Let's go home.
Let's go home. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Just say, we have, you guys had the branding discussion the other day when we, I think we were here, and some of your points. So today we did meet with the committee that was here, and then we met with the owner of Mandala, which you didn't know he was owner until he was here. He was a person, they figured as one of their staff members, but he was the actual owner, and he owns 100% of it. So we spent some time upstairs. So we will be working a professional services agreement with Mandala to do the branding, and then it'll be spearheaded by LED and Janet and then the group. But I made clear to them today, and Corey too, that we wanted it to be broader, and so they were coming up with several other types. You know, we want someone from education.
Call it a representative from each stakeholder group. So
okay, good.
Someone from, call it the real estate sector, education, healthcare. And we were going through listing all these. There's going to be a compilation of that list and of proposed names, and then obviously identifying if there's any weaknesses or holes. If we missed any stakeholder groups. So it was the very, very beginning of the process. But it sounded like, I mean, he was very thoughtful, and he certainly knows how to lay the groundwork for something like this to get traction and be, you know, he said flat out that it has to be broadly based and accepted by many, many, many groups, as many as possible, or else it won't work. He's not coming here to tell us this is our brand.
Yeah.
He's sort of holding up the mirror and also refining and distilling down to something that will motivate people to come here, whether it's tourism or to live here or to invest with business. But it's a two-way street in that process. So I was impressed with him. I'm optimistic that there will be a good product here in, call it, 6 months or so.
Thanks for doing that. So adding to it.
Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn then, if there's nothing else?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Yeah.
Okay. All right,
she got a hit her gavel.
Yeah.
Slam that, baby.